Hello and welcome to the 11 Minute Podcast. I'm Ben Ladane and here with the co-host.
This is Tim Lilly.
So we're here to talk about construction, HVAC, building products, engineering, anything across the board related to getting a building built. Excited to be here. And this episode is going to be 11 minutes long. Every episode is going to be 11 minutes long. Even if we have a guest on, we'll cut it off right at the 11 minute mark. So you'll know always it won't be more than 11 minutes. So to get us started today, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my background. We'll ask Tim about his background, and then we'll talk about some of the things that we're working on in our respective industries going forwards. In the future, we'll have guests on to talk about what they're doing and how the construction process is developing and changing in this modern world. So you know what, Tim, you're going to kick it off. Give us your background and tell us, you know, how you got here.
So my name is Tim Lilly, and I work for Lilly Engineering, and we're now onto the third generation of a family company, which my grandfather started back in the 60s. And we've grown from just being in the steel mills to now we manufacture. And one of the lines we manufacture is a control valve. And so by doing some cold calling, I met Ben, and then we went to the AHR Expo and we saw 70,000 people who were interested in heating and cooling. And we saw some pretty cool stuff, but no one's really broadcasting it. So our entire scope of this podcast is to show what people are doing out there that's pretty cool. And maybe you can learn something and take it to your own ideas. Maybe you have someone who you want to hear from and want to pick their mind. And that's how we're going here. And we're hoping to make some friends along the way. And so Pass it back to you, Ben.
I was going to ask you, tell me about, like, you know, where you went to school and then how you kind of have made the transition into working for Lilly now.
So I went to Villanova and studied finance, and I couldn't see myself working on Wall Street. So I went to work for the family business, and now we're selling control valves, and you get to see some pretty cool industry where you go into a steel mill or a refinery or the cooling loop in a skyscraper. And I think it's fun to be out there and kind of have more of the engineering mindset where you're building something, you can see a physical product and people, you could see the value that you provide to someone.
So how has the shift gone from like turning that finance brain into a more like application-based mindset for engineering projects?
I learned zero on-the-job skills from an engineering standpoint in college. All my classes were finance and cash flows and discount rates. And so the first week on the job, I was a little shell-shocked when people started talking about pressures and cavitation and all these engineering buzzwords. But once you kind of get into it and you find something that you enjoy, it's pretty easy to study. And so now I've learned and I know the questions to ask and how people are going about solving different issues. And it's just been interesting to see what everyone's doing with water, the most common resource on earth, and how you control it, how you manipulate it, how you heat it, how you cool it, how you use it to heat things, how you use it to cool things. And it's a fascinating world. And so I know you could speak a little bit more about that than I can, Ben, with your background.
Yeah, you know, I'll, that's a good transition. I'll jump into what I did. So I went to Virginia Tech and studied mechanical engineering before graduating and Googling which mechanical engineers make the most money. Which led me into finding sales jobs. So I started as a project manager at a rep firm in the Washington, D.C. area. And then I went and sold equipment for about 10 years before recently leaving and kind of shifting more towards software. But that's definitely something that I'll say, like, you know, even as an engineer by schooling, I'll call it, the process of taking what you learn in a book and then applying it to the real world is something that happens on the job or on the job site versus you can never learn it in a classroom. So even with an engineering background, you're still taking these thermodynamic concepts you learn and then saying, how do I apply this? But to me, one of the best things about that process is it gives you a little bit more context over the world that you live in, like just looking around and seeing how things work or feeling like you have an understanding of what's kind of happening behind the, we'll call them the metal louvers of the world, kind of help you feel like there's a better understanding of the space that you're taking up or your space within it. So definitely a good transition to that kind of like application piece. Well, let's jump into now talking a little bit about what we're both working on a day-to-day basis. I'd love to hear about what your, company, Tim, Lily, 8 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing? What does your day look like? What are you working on and what are you thinking about?
So our premise is incredibly simple. We're taking an industrial solution and applying it to the HVAC world. And what happens in the HVAC world is people are trying to modulate with a butterfly valve, which is the exact same as trying to take a math test without a calculator. And so if you don't have all the tools, it just makes your life harder. And so we redesigned a valve that you can modulate in place of that butterfly valve with the same face-to-face dimensions. And so now it's like taking a math test and using the calculator. And so my main job is educating engineers that there's a solution. And we believe that the reason people aren't using our valve is just because no one's educated them. And so I have the confidence every day to pick up the phone and call people and email people because I believe in what we have. And I think it's a solution that most engineers should be aware of. And so a lot of people don't think about the equipment as much as they do. It's like building a beautiful cake, but then using knockoff sugar and fake frosting. And so it looks beautiful, but when you actually go to have a piece, it tastes terrible. And so we're just trying to bring more industrial solutions where we can have control and bring that to the HVAC world. And so my day is just trying to educate as many people as I can.
Well, tell me a little bit more about the valve itself. And I've learned a little bit about this from you, but I'd love to even hear a little bit more about the valve body, kind of what makes that control process possible.
So it's very simple. You have a standard butterfly valve, which is your minimum face-to-face. And face-to-face is how wide your valve is. And so in the HVAC world, you have these buildings in New York, and it's expensive for square footage. And so you need the smallest possible footprint. And what we did is we took a standard butterfly valve disc, and we redesigned it. We thought outside the box. We got creative. And through trial and error, we found a valve that now you can modulate and you have control. And what that does is smallest possible footprint, and it's easier to balance your system, which is the holy grail of any of these designs, which you probably know better than I've been.
Well, I don't know if that's necessarily true, but I'll take credit for it. But tell me about, I know that industrial has been a big background for the valves and where you've seen a lot of those applications, but tell me about some of those industrial applications, like where it's used and why it's used for those specific types of buildings.
So we do some fun applications. Right now in the industrial world, we do reverse osmosis, which is a big buzzword and it gets a lot of government money. And then we do a lot where you're using water to cool a system. And since we live in Chicago, sometimes you need a lot of water and sometimes you don't need so much water. And so with our valve, it has such a rangeability that it can happen. And now we're trying to figure out different ways to sell it, which brought us to SpecFrog, which is a pretty cool company, pretty innovative. And I think that's going to change the game, but I'm biased.
All right. That's definitely biased. And I'm probably the most biased person to talk about it, but I will use that as a transition to jump into talking a little bit about what I'm working on, which is, so about a year and a half ago, July 2022, I left the rep world. I was working for a really great rep in the New York City area, but I wanted to go out on my own and learn a little bit about software and see how I could apply it to the construction process. So learn some programming, have a co-founder named Andrew. We'll have him on as a guest, I'm sure, at some point to talk about his perspective on the programming background, because I think that'll be interesting to people in construction as well. He does most of the coding and I do a little bit for the project. But our vision was to build an HVAC all-in-one platform where you could go from the beginning of the design process all the way through the end of project management using AI tools throughout it. So we had like a selection software platform, document management, submittal system, and a lot of different pieces. And truthfully, it was a very complicated system. So we've recently pivoted to focusing on the AI tools that we're creating. So as of today, which is February 14th, if you go on SpecFrog, you can sign up for an account and use it to send documents with an AI assistant. So if you're an HVAC salesperson sending documentation to your engineering clients or contractor clients, like a submittal or a specification or a selection, attach an assistant to that document and let your clients interact with the data via AI assistant. So instead of searching through for the number of fan coils or the specific piping requirements in the specification, you can theoretically just ask a question. Not even theoretically, you can actually ask a question to the documents themselves. So one example would be, you know, tell me about the service clearances on FCU-A-12. And if that data is in the submittal that you sent, it's going to be able to reply with that direct information. So it's been fun working on that, getting to work with different types of customers, manufacturers, contractors, engineers, and hopefully we'll expand to even other industries in the future. But a lot's happening there, and I'm sure I'll talk more about it in the future. But that's all. We're coming up on 11 minutes, and it's going to cut off.
So you planned it just like that, so it'd be a little teaser. You waited until time ran out, so people have to listen to the second episode.
I guess, yeah. Cliff is coming. 3 seconds, Tim. That's it.